Hi, podcasters. This is Brooke with Let's Talk Art. Today, I'm very excited to be talking art with Milan Din. We're talking about her Constellation Charlotte installation at the Mint last month. Milan's got a very interesting backstory, having escaped from Vietnam as a young child. So it'll be very interesting to hear the backstory and the inspiration. Enjoy.
Hello.
Hello, Milan.
Yeah.
Hey, am I saying it right?
Yes, Milan.
Uh-huh. Awesome. Yes. This is Brooke Musterman. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Really excited to be talking to you. I'm a huge fan of your work.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate you.
So I wanted to talk about the installation at the Mint, which I realize now is past. but I thought it was very cool, and I still wanted to talk about it. I did not, but I did go to the Mint, and I looked for it, and it wasn't there.
They took it down already?
Huh?
They took it down already?
I didn't.
It was supposed to be through the 29th.
Yeah, I didn't. I missed it, because I had gotten an email, and I thought it was, like, current. And I guess it was from May. So I went, and I asked, like, lots of people, and they were like, no, I think that's passed.
Oh, no.
It might still be there. I don't know, but I didn't see it.
Okay.
But I was very interested in it. So how did that come to be, the Constellation Charlotte thing? I didn't even really understand that.
So the program is something that I think it's in its third year.
Mm-hmm.
And basically they highlight local artists,
mm-hmm.
To activate kind of the public spaces within the Mint Museum. And so they're on several different levels throughout the museum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so Jen asked me, Jen Edwards, the curator,
right.
Asked me if I would want to do that. And I said, sure.
Yeah.
And basically I created some new work. She had picked up some older works, and also said that, hey, you know, we'd love some new work that, you know, if you want to create some new work for it. And I said, sure. So it's a combination of the works that I have been, that I've created in the past,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, newer work that I had been thinking about, and just, you know, it kind of ignited that part of it. And all of it is deals with, you know, and addresses the issues that I've been concerned about, which is identity,
mm-hmm.
and migration, and all of that.
Right, right. And I've seen several of your other stuff. I saw We See Heaven Upside Down, and I think the first thing that I saw of yours was The Art of Struggle, that group exhibition. And so, like, you have a really interesting backstory, that you escaped from Vietnam, and I just wondered, well, I mean, it certainly affects your art, and just talk about, the relationship of that in your art.
Yeah, so, you know, I think it's very difficult to, at least personally, to separate the art from the artist.
Right. Right?
And, the work that I've been creating probably in the last 6 or 7 years have been much more personal, in the sense of me reflecting what has happened in the past,
mm-hmm.
What's happening currently.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a combination of my own personal experiences as an immigrant, as mm-hmm. a refugee. The refugee crisis in Syria,
mm-hmm.
was a major spark to analyze and to look within for me.
Right.
I was in Berlin when the Syrian refugee crisis was at its peak.
Oh, wow.
And there were so many concerns about, you know, with all the refugees arriving,
mm-hmm.
how would it change our culture in Germany? You know, is it safe?
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, people were also very, you know, welcoming in many ways. And
mm-hmm.
so there was this push and push back, you know, from both sides.
Yeah.
And so, you know, for me, it was very personal because I felt I knew. I knew that experience, exactly.
Yeah.
And then now, with Afghanistan, you know, it's like this renewal of that as well, that questioning. And also just like seeing the footage of the final days.
Oh, yeah.
And the, and that reminds me so much of the fall of Saigon.
Yeah, yeah.
So these issues, these challenges of you know, safety, of belonging, of you know, displacement, of also in many ways the how countries and policies have failed people, just regular people.
Right?
Yeah. Who just want to live their lives in dignity and in safety and all of that. Just looking at all of these, you know, just all these parts, and how does that affect, how do we look at that? How do we feel about that, me personally? And then on the greater scheme of, like, trying to relate that to, and trying to address that to folks who have never experienced that, you know?
Yeah.
So just having maybe just in a way offering my own personal insight, hoping that this will start some sort of dialogue with folks.
Yeah, I mean, I think art is the perfect venue to do that, because it's, I mean, you can under, I mean, I don't know, politics are so divisive, and people always have opinions, and they'll defend their opinion, whether or not they know anything about it or have experienced anything like it. And it's just, I think art has just taught me so much about so much more about history and just everything than school ever did. and it's just so much more emotional. You get so much more, you get your message across more. Because you feel it. So, I mean, I think this is a perfect thing. And I think that everyone should be required to, like, you know, to see, I don't know, to look at the art from the perspectives of people that they disagree with. I think that's the only way to really get some common ground.
Yeah, I mean, some of the work that I create, I think, is very visceral.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it for me personally is also a way for me to cope. A lot of the of, you know, all these very, very big themes, and in many ways also very sad.
Yeah.
You know, very challenging.
Absolutely.
Very sad. And so it is a coping mechanism for me. It's a way of me to reflect and to share also the stories that I, you know, my stories.
Mm-hmm.
And I think from so far from the work that I've created, it's really nice to get feedback.
Mm-hmm.
You know, out of the blue, I would get, you know, for example, there was an email that I had gotten from a gentleman who is a teacher in Charlotte, and he had been at the Mint Museum,
mm-hmm.
and he also is an immigrant, and said, I was really touched by your work, and for me, it felt like I wasn't alone in what I was feeling.
Yeah.
And, you know, for me to hear that, like, really heartfelt, like, yeah, you know, and just to let people know that there are others who are sharing similar experiences, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, art provides that platform, and you know, and especially, and I would like to think, you know, and to, you know, like the Mint Museum, and they're just, you know, there are organizations and venues and of course Elder Gallery, who has been so supportive of my work,
mm-hmm.
to that I have a platform,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
To express to express my work and my thoughts and my feelings, and to relate it to the greater public.
Right, right. Now, have you always been artistically inclined? I mean, have you always drawn and created? I mean, I don't want to say drawn, because you use like all kinds of materials to create your art. So, like, have you always done that?
I have always been, and I think, you know, all children have, you know, are curious, and I think that starts with curiosity.
Absolutely.
Right? And then when you, if you are lucky enough to, have that nurture, you know, and have some examples of, you know, folks who are making art or whatever, it just blossoms.
Yeah.
And so, or, it, you know, somewhat encouraged to mm-hmm. do that. And so when we came to the United States, I was very little, mm-hmm. and I had major separation anxiety from my mom.
Right.
Just, you know, trauma and all of
that.
Oh,
for sure.
And so, and, you know, when refugees come to the United States, mm-hmm. You are expected to integrate mm-hmm. very, very quickly.
Yeah.
And basically, the policy is you get 3 months of kind of help, you know, from like kind of federal or, you know, funding or whatever,
right.
To just kind of get you started, right?
Uh-huh.
After that, you are on your own.
Yeah.
And if you're lucky enough, you might have, like, a sponsor. We were lucky enough to have a Lutheran church in Boone to mm-hmm. help sponsor us, right?
Mm-hmm.
But still, you're, you know, I mean, it's gently, kindly, but expected to get on your feet.
Right.
And so my parents had to immediately go to work,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't want to be separated from my mom, and so they took me to a daycare, and I was just crying and crying.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the ladies at the daycare opened the door and showed me the craft and arts room.
Wow, and that's where you blossomed.
Hi. I was like, bye, mom. That was the thing that I gravitated to immediately. And
right.
I allowed my mom to, like, you know, go to work.
Yeah. So, you go to work. I'll be fine here.
Yeah, I'll be fine now. I've always, been creatively inclined. And neither of my parents, they're factory workers there, you know,
mm-hmm.
they were not exposed to, art. They felt it was like something for the elite, you
mm-hmm.
know, the rich, all of that stuff. So, I had a very different outlook on, like, art was something that was, like crafty, like, made stuff, right?
Right.
But, like, the introduction to museums and gallery shows and all of that stuff came much later in my
mm-hmm.
life,
mm-hmm.
When I was in college, actually. And so, I think that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
But I also feel, and that's part of, how I feel now. It's like, me as a woman of color,
mm-hmm.
an immigrant,
mm-hmm.
and a former refugee, to be able to be in the public sphere and be there, just to be out there and just like, look, there are people who look like me,
mm-hmm.
you know, that you know, for children who are not, you know, coming from say white privilege,
right?
To experience is like, hey, there are artists who look like me, who are creating, who are doing it as a profession,
right, and thriving,
setting and set, you know, positive examples.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right. Well, what did your parents do when they first got here, like for a career? Like, what were their jobs?
Oh, my mom's first job was washing dishes in the kitchen of a restaurant and hotel.
Okay.
And my dad was the janitor.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Wow. And then after that, they worked in different factories when we moved to Charlotte. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I was just curious because, I mean, like, I was thinking about that. That's something I think about a lot. Just, like, what would I do if I was forced to go to another country and just where I didn't speak the language and didn't know anything and didn't, I mean, like, how would I fit in? I mean, what would I do? And I just wondered what, you know, how they did it.
Yeah, I mean, it's very, for them, you know, they made sure that, whatever they had to do, they put food on the table and, you know, roof over our heads. And that was really important for them, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just an experience I think that, I don't know, I think people are too quick to have opinions about when they really don't know anything about it. And, I don't know, it's just...
I think that's not only having opinions, but also, I mean, you know, when I look back, it's, you know, just like some of the just racist comments and discrimination that we experienced as Vietnamese people was really, sometimes it was really tough, and it definitely affects how you grow up, how you think, and definitely for my parents, it was really tough on them.
Yeah, for sure. And I was watching a YouTube video of the presentation you did for, I'm not even sure which one it was, but it might have been the Constellation Charlotte. Actually it was We See Heaven Upside Down. And you were talking about how you were dating a guy and he introduced you to his mother. And I was like, what a bitch.
Like,
that is so ignorant, and that is just so, oh my gosh, I just can't even imagine.
Well, I mean, what is interesting was that his mother is a teacher.
Yeah.
That's so even worse. Which says a lot about like there are, you know, folks who are in the education system who are teaching our children and having those types of prejudices is kind of sad.
Yeah, that's just not right. I cannot even imagine. I can't even imagine having to deal with that. That's too much. But talk about your so you had like several things at the Mint. You had the At Your Service collage and several others. Mama Says and Collective History.
Would you like me to speak about the At Your Service?
Yeah. They were on, just talk about it. They were on like different levels of the Mint.
Yeah. So At Your Service was actually in the gift shop area, which was very interesting.
Okay.
At Your Service, they're print that I created on the press and etching press, and then they had gold leaf on them, and there is text, and then on those prints, and then the prints were adhered to serving trays that you would use in a restaurant.
Okay.
And there are four of them, and one says in Vietnamese, "Phuc," but if you read it like phonetically in English, it says "fuck."
Yeah.
The whole thing says "fuck," "damn," "racism."
Yeah.
"Come on."
Yeah.
But actually, they're written in Vietnamese words except for the word "racism," and so "phuc" means happiness. "Damn" is to negotiate. And then racism, and then "come on" is "gamang," which means "thank you."
Oh, wow.
And that was created.
That's intriguing.
it's a bit of a play on words, but also, and it's printed on paper that looks like, this paper is intended to look like paper that is burned at Buddhist funerals.
Uh-huh.
So it's very culturally, there's a lot of cultural references, and the paper is basically a reference to, like, the paper that you burn at Buddhist funerals, in which, like, your afterlife, that you have, you know, prosperity and wealth and all of that.
Right.
And I created that shortly after the women in Atlanta were murdered.
Uh-huh.
In the nail salon.
Okay.
And it's a reference also to addressing, you know, during COVID, all the anti-Asian hate.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, everything from the worst, which is of course murder and violence, mm-hmm. to just plain, you know, just racism and prejudice,
meanness.
And meanness.
Yeah.
You know? And also, like, in many ways, boycotting mm-hmm. Asian businesses because of this ignorant fear of if you go to a Chinese restaurant or Asian restaurant, you're going to get COVID.
That's crazy.
So there were a lot of Asian communities, businesses that suffered so much at the start of the pandemic in mm-hmm. the United States.
Yeah, I can imagine.
That. And so, in a way, the works are a reference to that. There's some pieces called At Your Service. They're on service trays that you would use in restaurants.
Uh-huh.
And that, you know, this kind of prejudice and racism and discrimination, not only against the people, but also because of their businesses, hurts them economically and their livelihoods.
Right. I just think that is so layered. It's just so... I mean, there's so much there. It's just so packed.
Yeah, it is packed, and it was funny that it was, you know, hanging in the gift shop, so I had to make sure folks working at the gift shop knew that story. Because, you know, if you come up and you read it, you're like, what is this?
Yeah, yeah.
So, but after kind of giving them the inside of that, they were really comfortable with it and really actually enjoyed hearing that. And also, you know, tell visitors about the piece itself. So.
Wow. What about, and you used a lot of quilting and fabric kind of stuff, so you sew, obviously.
I do sew. I do not, I don't know how to sew quilts, and so the quilts that I use in my work are all discarded quilts.
Okay.
Yes. And oftentimes, most of the time, I don't know the history of the quilt and who made it. They're all handmade and for some, you know, from someone or another. And I purposely do that,
mm-hmm.
In which I use these beautifully, you know, made objects that, you know, objects have history to them.
Yeah, yeah.
Handmade objects, right? And what does it mean when there's an obvious love and care to them, but right. you don't know the history behind it, right?
Right.
And for me, it there are several reasons of using discarded quilts, and that's the idea of not equating, but in a reference to, you know, immigrants who come to this country, and especially undocumented immigrants, mm-hmm. and are considered imported until they're no longer important.
Right.
You know, you know, kind of disposable humans, and so, you know, they all have a history. They all are precious to someone.
Right. Yeah.
But are discarded because they're no longer needed for whatever purpose.
Uh huh.
And so that's a reference to that, but also, you know, this country is built on many, many different cultures, and
right.
we are, in a way, you know, a quilt of different cultures,
mm-hmm.
or a patchwork, and so that's one of the reasons why I use that.
Right. Well, where do you find the, where do you get your quilts?
A lot of them, they're donated to me.
Okay.
Friends and family, people who, or, you know, I might find them in like a thrift store or mm-hmm. something like that. I guess being a visual artist, you know, and once people, you know, like, you know, your acquaintances know that, oh, you make stuff with
quilts. Yeah. They give you stuff.
Things start piling up on the porch. Yeah. I have this. Could you use it?
Right.
Maybe.
Yeah. So you have a big supply.
Yeah.
Cool. So we started talking about the Mama Said. I got off track on the quilts. So Mama Says was, there's a couple of them. The Mama Says in Collective History are with quilts uh-huh. and embroidery. Uh-huh. And I was I've always really loved how, when I saw it at the Elder Gallery, how you use like eggshells and things like that, uh-huh. just kind of juxtaposing strength and fragility, which uh-huh. I think is way, way cool and really very, there's very, that's very, that's truth.
I have a lot of works in the Mint mm-hmm. that have, you know, have that material. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's the identity piece, which is my passport. It's a real passport. And I've eggshelled the entire exterior of it, mm-hmm. front and back.
Yeah.
So, and then there's pre-sorted second class, mm-hmm. which I created. Actually, I started creating them when I had my residency at the McCall Center.
Mm-hmm.
And those are eggshells that are different shades of brown.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a reference to immigration and, you know, kind of like this play on words of mail, you know, there's first class mail and there's second class mail and the pre-sorted, you mm-hmm. know?
Right.
Much like immigrants.
Yeah.
Depends on what shade of tan you are.
Right.
And so there are envelopes that are completely covered in eggshells.
All of your stuff is like so layered and just deep. Wow.
Yeah. So and they're like, and the interesting thing is they're objects that they're little. They're very They're small, but to me, they're very powerful.
They pack a real punch.
Yeah. And then upstairs, I was really excited about a new installation that was made for the Mint,
mm-hmm.
For this show, and it's called Reconstructing the Space in Between. And those are the tools, these hand tools that are, again, completely covered in eggshells. And so, and that's actually the inspired kind of a dedication to my mom.
Mm-hmm.
It came about after, you know, the inauguration of Kamala Harris as the vice president.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what does that mean? What did that mean to me? And, you know, obviously very excited about having the first, not only female vice president, but also a woman of color.
Right.
And Southeast Asian, you know, half Southeast Asian,
uh-huh.
color. And, you know, everybody was talking, yeah, she's shattering, you know, the glass ceiling and all uh-huh. of that. And I thought about it for a while, and I thought, that term is a very interesting term because it exists in a way with, it is only, it somehow, it resonates in a, with folks who in a way can only see that could happen to them or it could happen to their children or whatever, but it's a term that is like, my mom has no idea what that means. Because for her, that would never be remotely achievable in any way possible because of her circumstances.
Right.
And so I was thinking about that term, but also kind of this, she didn't have a glass ceiling, she had a glass floor.
Yeah.
Which is a very thin glass floor that separated her from, you know, poverty and all of that stuff. And her sacrifices to, as a female, especially, and as an immigrant woman, to exist, barely exist, you know, above that glass floor. And so for me to exist the second, you know, generation of immigrant children, to exist between that glass ceiling and the glass floor, that's that space in between.
Wow.
And so I wanted to create these tools that were to build a better future for that space in between for the next generation.
Uh-huh. Oh my gosh, this stuff is so powerful. It's just the power of art. It always amazes me, and it's like I don't forget how powerful art is, but I always am always like kind of surprised at like how wow, that's just, I mean, it's like I never seem to lose my wonder, I guess, when I'm hit with the power of art, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's part of it, right? To get folks thinking and inspired. I mean, not all artwork has to be, you know, political in that sense.
Right.
You know, and like mine is very direct. Mm-hmm. You know. But art can just also be something beautiful. Mm-hmm. That can be something, and I hope my objects are just beautiful to look at.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
One of the things, the aesthetic is also there.
Yeah.
But you know, it can be like a beautiful landscape, or you know, or flowers, or just something that makes you smile.
Yeah.
You know, to remind you that you have a heartbeat, and that you're human, that you have feelings.
Right.
That something that that reminds you that you are part of something that is greater than you, that somebody else can create a feeling that maybe you didn't have, you know, you weren't in touch with at that moment.
Right.
And so, yeah, I think that's really important. I mean, like, right now I'm working on a three sidewalk murals. One of them just started this week for Mora, Monroe Road.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so the first one is on Chippendale and Monroe Road, and that one is I'm working with my collaborative artist partner, Bunny Gregory, who's incredible. So that particular mural is called Wonder, and it's right next to the STEAM, Oakhurst STEAM Academy.
Okay.
And it's inspired by, you know, just children and their curiosity and creativity and all of that. And it's very colorful, and it's a fun, you know, sidewalk mural on both sides of the intersection.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just something that, and it's community projects. We've reached out with through Mora. They've been a great supportive help to work with community to get input, and so it's been a year and a half of kind of working together with them before this has actually happened.
Right.
Like, really paint on pavement.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's something that the community can be proud of, right?
Yeah.
And the kids who are, you know, at the school next door, you know, if the parents are walking the kids to school, they can see that.
Mm-hmm.
And people, you know, walking their dogs, or you know, just that this is just something like, oh, brings a smile to them, you know.
Right, right. Well, when you were saying Mora, I was thinking on Monroe and Independence.
Oh no. It's Mora basically is it's basically they're the organization is to advocate for, you know, just like help build awareness about that corridor along Monroe Road.
Okay.
From basically, yeah, where I guess 7th Street turns into Monroe Road out until it hits Matthews.
Okay.
And there's so many businesses and so many different communities along that. And so they're trying to increase awareness about the businesses, about the communities, but also to also beautify and have a more arts presence along there.
Yeah.
So this is part of that. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. I love what they're doing. They just did a really nice sidewalk mural, I guess, on the Galilee Center on Central. That's really cool. There's all kinds of murals and stuff on Central that I've always liked, but we can always use more.
Right.
But yeah. Well, thank you so much, Milan. I really appreciate you taking the time to chat with me. This has been very inspiring. So very cool. And I hope you have a wonderful rest of the day.
Thank you. You too. And thanks for, you know, just supporting what, you know, different artists the creative community is doing here.
Thank you so much to Milan Din for chatting with me and talking about your multi-layered art. I love to see art that has so many levels of meaning to it. If you want to see more of Milan, you can check out her work at the Elder Gallery or at the Mint, Mint Museum of Modern Art. Thanks for listening. This is a Hotspur Media production, music by Corey Knoxville.